Welcome. A couple of items of business, and then we'll go to questions. A little bit ago, the president placed a phone call to Tom Tidwell, who's the deputy regional forester of the U.S. Forest Service, to express condolences over what is now being called the Esperanza incident, a fire near Palm Springs, California, that has claimed the lives of four firefighters who were Forest Service employees belonging to Engine Crew 57 in the San Jacinto Ranger District. The dead are Mark Lautenheiser, Jess McLean, Jason McKay, and Daniel Hoover Najera, clinging to life as Pablo Cerda. The president expressed condolences not only to the families of those who have fallen in fighting the fire, but also to the family of Pablo Cerda, asking for God's blessing on all of them. He also praised the special work the firefighters do, their compassion for others going into harm's way and risking their lives, and said that their work is an indication of the compassion of Americans. He said the families are in his and Laura's prayers, and asked that all the firefighters know that they're in his prayers and in Mrs. Bush's prayers. He also said he hopes that whoever is the perpetrator will be caught quickly and brought to justice. As for the president's meeting with the NATO Secretary General, Jaap de Hoop Scheffer, they had a good meeting. They talked, they talked a lot about NATO's role in Afghanistan and ways of moving forward. Also talked about their shared interest in Darfur and getting something done there. One other note, today marks the last day at the White House of Frederick Jones. Please a round of applause. Fred really has been terrific in a lot of ways, and I personally want to thank him. I especially recall a few weeks ago in the latest Korean incident when we were up in the middle of the night and Fred was handling a whole lot of that. And Fred, thanks, and Godspeed, and anything we can do, let us know. You know what he's going to do? He's going to put his feet up for a very brief period of time. Well, why don't you ask him?
Well, tell us.
Well, he's a smart man. Okay, questions? Yeah.
Tony, your argument that Vice President Cheney didn't know that he was being asked about waterboarding or wasn't being asked about waterboarding and didn't intend to give an answer that suggested he was saying the United States uses waterboarding, it doesn't follow when you read the transcript, and it doesn't follow with sort of common sense.
Well, I'll tell you what he said. He was asked the question, you dunk somebody's head in the water to save a life. Is it a no-brainer? And also, if you read the rest of the answer, he also, the vice president, who earlier had also been asked about torture, said we don't torture. Let me give you the no-brainers here. Number one, no-brainer number one is we don't torture. No-brainer number two, we don't break the law, our own or international law. No-brainer number three, the vice president doesn't give away questioning techniques. And number four, the administration does believe in legal questioning techniques of known killers whose questioning can, in fact, be used to save American lives. The vice president says he was talking in general terms about a questioning program that is legal to save American lives, and he was not referring to waterboarding.
How can you say that he's not referring to waterboarding when it was very clear when you look at the whole context of that, not only that specific
question, but
the one before?
Did the word waterboarding appear?
It came up in the context of talking about interrogation techniques in the entire debate that has been conducted in this.
I understand that. I'm telling you what the vice president said. You push all you want. He wasn't referring to waterboarding and would not talk about techniques.
Well, let's back it up here for a second, because what we're saying is, and I've got the transcript. Would you agree a dunk in water is a no-brainer if it can save lives? Vice President, it's a no-brainer for me. Tony,
read the rest of the answer.
What could dunk in the water refer to if not waterboarding?
I'm just telling you. I'm telling you the Vice President's position. I will let you draw your own conclusions because you clearly have. He says he wasn't talking
about any conclusions. I'm asking for an explanation about what dunk in the water could mean.
How about a dunk in the water?
So wait a minute. So dunk in the water means what? We have a pool now at Guantanamo and they go swimming?
You're doing stand-up?
I'm asking. Well, let's start with something basic. I mean, dunk in the water refers to what? If it doesn't refer to waterboarding, tell me what it could possibly refer to.
No. Because the transcript's there. You read it, you interpret it. I'm telling you what the vice president says. He says he wasn't referring. What you're saying is the vice president is wrong in reporting what he says. I'm sorry. I'm telling you what the vice president says. I can't go any further, and I'm not going to engage in what could he mean, because he said what he meant. He said he wasn't talking about waterboarding. And furthermore, what you didn't read was the rest of the answer, which I asked you to do, where he talks about we don't torture, we obey the laws, and that sort of thing. And it also came up regularly within the context of that conversation. So I know it's inviting to say, the vice president confirms waterboarding, he's talking about waterboarding. Just, it's not there.
One follow on this, because what you said in the morning was, you think Dick Cheney's going to slip up on something like this. Is it possible that he's not slipping up at all, but that he's winking to the base and saying, of course we waterboard, and of course we'll do anything we need to get the information.
I think you just won the cynical question of the year award. No,
that's
I don't.
No, they're more.
They're okay.
Yeah, I'm a little cynical.
Deep bench.
No, I just did, Jim. You could bang away as much as you want. I'm telling you what the vice president's. I talked to Leanne about it. She says no. He wasn't referring to waterboarding. He was referring to using a program of questioning, not talking about waterboarding. Let me put it this way: you got Dick Cheney, who's been head of an intelligence committee. He's been the Secretary of Defense. He's been the vice president. This is not a guy who slips up, and he's also not a guy who does winks and nods about things that involve matters that you don't talk about for political reasons. Sorry.
Why did the vice president then, when the inference was clearly there from the questioner, who more than once referred to a Johnson
that his office
Please, let me finish. He, in the questioning, talked about how his radio listeners believe that this is a useful tool. If it takes dunking someone in order to save lives, isn't it a silly debate to even be questioning that? The vice president says, I do agree. Later says, that's been a very important tool that we've been able to secure the nation, referring to colleague Sheikh Mohammed. If the vice president is so careful, why did he allow himself to answer a question in which dunking in the water was a part of that question?
He was answering a question. And also, as you know, he went on to talk about torture. Look, I've said what I'm going to say on it. I really can't. What you're asking me to do is to deconstruct something. I've asked what he meant. I've told you what he said he meant. I can't go any further than that. So you can ask all the whys and wherefores, but I want you to think. Let's go back to the no-brainer part here. The vice president is not somebody who's going to reveal techniques. He's been in this business for a very long time.
And he responded to a technique, and he said that he agreed.
He was not asked. No.
Informally, he did.
No, informally doesn't work. I mean,
it does in the context of a radio interview.
No,
phrase.
Well, I know, but no, I actually think.
Conversation with a radio audience to speak to the American people.
I understand all
that. It doesn't
that.
Have to be legally precise. The vice president understood what the questioner was asking.
I'll tell you, and I will tell you once again, the vice president says that he refers to the fact that when you're questioning people, you don't torture, you obey the law, and you protect the American people. We're not going to go any further.
Is it possible that the two are not mutually exclusive? In other words, that the vice president does not construe waterboarding as torture, and therefore,
no.
to him,
no,
in the same
no, no,
sentence,
no, no, no.
So he does construe waterboarding as torture?
No. What he doesn't talk about waterboarding, and he also, what he does say is that the techniques that the Americans use do not qualify as torture, and he is not going to talk about specific techniques.
A dunk in the water does not qualify as torture. Right, and the vice president is saying we're not involved in torture, and a dunk in the water is a no-brainer for him.
Okay,
is
and he, I will let you. I will let you. I will let you deconstruct. The text speaks for itself. Let's change.
Did you talk to him?
No, I didn't. I talked to Leanne.
I had a cutout.
Don't you think?
I had a cutout.
Yeah. Don't the Americans?
I'll be happy to talk to him. Okay, I'll talk to him for you. Okay. Everybody happy?
Well, you tell us
why
what
he said. Why do you let it? That's what he says. In the water. That's a serious question. And you can't just sort of beg off and
no,
say,
but Jennifer,
I'm not
Jennifer, have you listened? There have been statements out of that office for two consecutive days that say they don't talk about waterboarding, they don't talk about torture, they don't condone torture. They're not going to talk about techniques.
What we're asking is, what's a dunk in the water? What's
he agrees with it. We want to know what
water?
That means.
All right.
If he agrees with a dunk in the water, then it's
talk about a dunk
you,
in the water.
But you need to deconstruct it, not us. That's why we're asking
okay,
you.
Okay, well, I've told you what deconstruction I've had. Yes, Anne.
This administration has indeed talked about specifics, including after Abu Ghraib, President Bush, condemning that kind of
right.
behavior. And he did talk about specifics, saying that was not what
was Well, wait a minute. He was talking about specific breaches of the law. He was not talking about lawful techniques which we will not disclose for obvious reasons of security.
Vice President Cheney doesn't make mistakes like this. He did go up and curse a senator to his face on the Senate floor and accidentally shot his friend, so he's not perfect.
No, I mean, it's just that's a great it's a great line, but it's not germane. Yes, Helen.
Is the emphasis on we don't torture, when we send captives to notorious places that do torture?
No, as we've said many times, when we move people to another place, we have to have assurances that there will be no torture and the treatment will be in accordance with international law.
Why? Why don't you keep them in your own captivity?
Well, wait a minute. I thought you guys wanted to close off Guantanamo. The only way you do that, we quite often try to repatriate people to places.
Before you even had any intention, or you certainly don't know.
Yeah. Well, it is. Let me just make it clear again. We don't condone torture. We don't participate in torture. We don't do torture.
How can we believe you when there's so much indication otherwise? Cheney went to the Hill to convince them they should not go for a ban on torture.
Well, the people on the Hill have expressed their will, and furthermore, the administration has always said that we don't conduct acts of torture. We don't condone torture.
I think the larger issue is credibility, yours and the White House's. We're talking both in this instance and yesterday about very clear, about specific language where you refute the semantic differences within the language and refuse to acknowledge very clear.
No, I can understand that people will look at this and draw the conclusions that you're trying to draw. As for yesterday, those are two entirely different issues, and I think I've explained that on the issues with Prime Minister and Maliki in the United States, We're playing off the same playbook. I understand this. We will try to deal with it. I think you guys are – maybe it's the end of the week. You're getting whipped into a frenzy.
The American people, do you think they don't understand?
No, that's not fair.
No, what I'm saying – no, I think it is because you guys know Dick Cheney. You know the issue. I will go back and I will try to find some language for you.
Dunking people in water as a part of the robust interrogation.
I think what he will disavow is torture, and he will not talk about specific techniques.
Okay, but just the wish list for us in terms of a question is this notion of what did he mean when he said dunking terrorist in water?
And I will tell you what the office has said, and I will ask him directly. But what they've said is he was talking generally about a program without referring to dunking in the water. That is used to interrogate people and to get important information that's going to save American lives. The other thing you need to think about is that, again, the vice president talking about a program that has now passed congressional scrutiny, been through a long debate and a thoughtful debate about how you can question people and save American lives. That really was the topic they were discussing.
That's not what we're asking about, though, now.
I know. Well, actually, it is what you're asking about. It was the conversation. Look, we're going to go around the merry-go-round. Let me just get you some answers that will be more acceptable to you.
Can you clarify that on Maliki? Maliki, is there an agreement in place that the U.S. and the Iraqis have mutually agreed to on benchmarks?
Let me put it this way. We get ourselves – this is one of these things where I want to be careful about the wording, because Prime Minister Maliki, I think, is rightly concerned that there may be the perception that somebody's saying, you must do this by a certain date, and that is not the way it works. What you do have is collaborative efforts to try to work toward a series of goals, political, economic, and security. And as I mentioned yesterday, the Iraqis have already published a lot of their economic and political goals. And as I've also explained, for obvious reasons, you don't really go public with a lot of the security stuff because it, in fact, tips your hand. But it is safe to say that we are working with him on the goals, for instance, the ones that he was outlining yesterday. He does want Iraqi troops taking primary command of operations within the country as soon as possible. He wants to make sure that they're properly trained and equipped and ready to go and professionalized, and we absolutely agree.
Not aware of this plan?
Donald Rumsfeld actually said that there's no daylight between the two. Donald Rumsfeld is, in fact, aware of how it works. It's one of these things where you want to make sure that when you're discussing it, you also want to respect Prime Minister Maliki's prerogatives as the head of a sovereign state, and he is sensitive about the use of terms like benchmark and timetables. So I think it's safe to say that we have mutually agreed upon goals, and we're working together to achieve them.
Can you stop using the word benchmark?
I think I'd be delighted to. Okay. Even if it's used in questions, I'll change it back to goals, yes.
To
bring this back to our the topic that we really started on and Jim's cynical question of the year.
Yeah.
The president mentions every time he goes out on the campaign trail that Republicans are better at protecting the American people than Democrats.
Right.
He points to Democrats' votes on the CIA interrogation technique, the bill, moving it forward. Is it possible that the vice president was trying to make the point that somehow this party, this administration, will do what it's taking, or will do what it takes to protect the American people?
No, the vice president and the president understand that when you're operating in a capacity of trying to defend the country, you have an obligation to the laws, the Constitution, and the people. And you never take your eye off that. So the vice president and the president are absolutely clear with anybody in the chain of command. You obey the law, you obey the procedures, you obey your international commitments. There's not a wink and a nod that, yeah, boy, we're going to take them back behind the door and just whack them. It doesn't work that way, Brett.
But you also won't say whether the vice president or the president believe waterboarding is torture.
I'll be happy to recite it or write it 100 times on the blackboard. We don't talk about specific techniques.
Clarify something. A couple seconds ago, you said, I can understand why people look at this and draw this conclusion.
Because you're going to talk about dunks in the water, and I know people say, oh, that must mean waterboarding. I mean, I understand that you draw that, so we'll get into it. I wouldn't, because I know the vice president, and I know the way people think in the White House.
Any other term referring to water that's been in this public debate over the last year and intensely over the last 6 weeks up on the Hill as this bill was being debated?
I don't know, Dick. I don't know. Thank you. Good.
Find the meaning of it. I mean, you know, it just...
No, we actually tried that trope yesterday. Now, what I'm trying to do is walk through the way the vice president thinks, and you all know him. I mean, there's this common sense factor involved here.
The meeting with the conservative columnist the other day, the interview.
I'm sorry, what?
Were you in the interview?
Yes, I was.
But he mentions in there that he calls Iran the true culprit in the Middle East in terms of radicalism. What can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Iran, it's no secret that Iran has been the number one global sponsor of terror for many years now. And he was referring to the provocative role that Iran has played in supplying money and arms to radical groups, including Hezbollah.
Subject. Can I ask you about some comments from Mexican officials to the border fence bill signing? Mexican President Vicente Fox said that it was not useful, the construction of a fence is not useful, and President-elect Calderon apparently said, he compared the fence to the Berlin Wall and said that the United States was committing a grave error in building a wall on our border.
Well, the President will be meeting soon with President-elect Calderon, and he understands President Fox's feelings about the fence, but on the other hand, there are important collaborative efforts on both parts to deal with issues like illegal border crossings, drug smuggling, and we have cooperative interdiction efforts. So we continue to do those. The president understands the sensitivities, but on the other hand, he also understands the importance of securing the border, and as we've pointed out on a number of occasions, you have fences in some places. You really have a mix of fences, you know, border patrol agents, technical means, surveillance, and that kind of thing. So it's not strictly fences.
Interference, though, by the
nations? No, I mean, nations are, I believe nations have been free to express their opinions about what we do and their differences with us on a number of things. It doesn't mean that they're not still valued allies.
Yeah. 12 Republican members of Congress from 9 states have written the president asking for an investigation of U.S. District Judge Cardone's sentencing of U.S. Border Patrol agents Compam and Ramos to prison for shooting a Mexican drug smuggler who brought 743 pounds of marijuana across the U.S. border, but who was given full immunity to testify against them. And my question, since there will be a congressional hearing on this case on November the 13th, will the White House refuse to respond to these 12 Republican congressmen?
I don't have an answer for that, Lester. I mean, this is, as you recall the other day when I tried to give you an answer about why we don't answer those questions, it was used provocatively by your editor. So let's just say, let's wait and see what the hearing produces. I believe you have 12 people who want to have a hearing, and we'll be interested in seeing what those hearings provide. April.
On the
situation of Darfur that was discussed between President Nato and Secretary General, did they discuss the issue of peacekeeping troops and the peacekeeping troops being made up of Muslim soldiers?
There is some conversation of the proper way to provide greater security in Darfur and protect people, but there was not a specific conversation about Muslim soldiers. It didn't come up, so I honestly not. You're asking me to draw conclusions about a conversation that didn't take place, so I'm really not competent to.
What about the sanctions? They issued new sanctions.
I think the most important, like the president has been very assertive on this. The international community needs to get together and put an end to a genocide in Darfur. It is an absolute ghastly human tragedy. The United States is trying to lead the charge on this, and we are encouraging our allies to be aggressive and forthcoming on it.
Nazis give his findings to the president?
I don't know. They're in fairly regular communications, and he has been briefing the president periodically.
Did they talk about the case in Afghanistan with the German soldiers appearing with the skulls? Do you know?
German soldiers what?
With some human skulls in Afghanistan, do you know?
No, what they did talk about is the fact that the Taliban have begun using innocent civilians as human shields. We did have an incident, I guess it was earlier this week, where civilians were killed. And Secretary General De Hoop Scheffer was really adamant about the kind of atrocities that are now being practiced by the Taliban and the importance of continued pressure on them and continuing to fight them. Paula.
I have a question on semantics.
Yeah, okay.
The president made remarks yesterday dealing with the New Jersey ruling.
Yeah.
My question is, when he uses the term gay marriage, are you in fact talking about civil unions, not church marriages?
That's a good question. I think gay marriage is a term that, I think the term gay marriage is applied to. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me give you my sense without having asked that particular semantic question. My sense is that what they're referring to is not civil unions, but in fact, when a state decrees that gay couples will engage in an institution called marriage. That has been the result of a Massachusetts decision. It's something that is implied in the New Jersey decision. And the president's view is, while he has his personal views on marriage, people ought to be able to debate and decide it rather than having it imposed by court edict.
But you're not suggesting that a state would impose on a church the marriage of homosexuals, are you? Because isn't that up to the individual church whether or not they
you've just changed the terms of our debate. I'm telling you that the president believes.
I'm just framing the question a little bit.
Okay, well, let's wait until we see if we got some clarity out of the courts and legislatures on it. Yes.
Although you don't seem to be answering my question about civil unions, the human.
Well, what is your question about civil? What is the precise question about civil unions?
I'd like to know if when you use the term gay marriage, you're actually talking about civil unions.
Okay,
and
in the civil.
There's a separation between church and state in terms of a state telling the church. What? That is the result of a gay marriage being.
Okay, what you're talking about civil unions would not be gay marriage because it does not use the term marriage. I'm willing to hear it. Go ahead.
The Human Rights Commission has said, under a specific international covenant of which the United States is a party, that excluding homosexuals from the status of a civil union is discriminatory. So is a gay marriage ban, meaning civil union, discriminatory on the basis of sex as well as equal protection under the law?
I'm incompetent on that, but what you just did, as you said, is a civil union, which you then turned into gay marriage. And as I said, if you use Ouch.
Just sort of follow up on that and clarify. The president has said in the past that he supports civil unions if that is what states choose to allow. Is that still the case?
I think the president said, has that been the phrase he's used? I'm incompetent. We're all newbies here. I'll check and see if that's precisely what he said. His position hadn't changed.
Tony, tomorrow is the president's first actual public open non-fundraiser rally. Can you explain in a way that a layman might understand why that is the case?
Well, you'll notice that there haven't been any Democratic rallies this year. As we have tried to explain before, it used to be the case that you used so-called soft money and put together rallies. Now if you go to a place, somebody, a local candidate or campaign or state committee is going to have to pay for it, and the carrying costs are pretty high. And in a competitive election year like this year, a lot of people have been saving up their money for the campaigns that they're engaged in. So this is one of the financial, probably one of the unexpected consequences of what happened with campaign finance reform. When you cease to have the ability to use so-called soft money, everything now has to be paid with hard dollars, which, as you know, means out of individual campaign coffers.
Does that mean that the local candidate has to pay for the cost of bringing the president?
Local candidates or campaigns, in most cases, are going to have to do this for state parties if you're running a state party rally.
Is that any way for a fundraiser?
Well, again, in the past, you had the ability, I believe, to defray using the Republican National Committee, using soft money. Go ahead.
On South Korea national securities are to replace it. How do you think it will affect?
I did not understand the beginning.
National securities are to replace. How do you think it will affect the relationship between the U.S. and South Korea?
South Korean security teams are what?
Are repressed.
Repressed? I don't understand.
Changing course.
I don't know anything about it. I'll try to. If you can email me a question, I'll try to get you an answer. I don't know.
In the conversation with the NATO Secretary General, did they talk about a change in NATO troop levels? Did they talk about a possible overhaul in the anti-drug effort?
No, they did not go into those specifics. The president was encouraging. It was thanking Secretary General de Hoop Skefford, not only for NATO cooperation, but he was basically thanking them and looking forward to working together. They did not engage in particular strategic conversations.
Mr. Skefford, did he convey to the president that both of the incidents of civilian deaths this week were instances of human shields?
There was one that's been widely. He mentioned one. I'm not aware of two.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah.
He didn't say though in his public remarks that that was the case. Is that what he conveyed to the president?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Don't know. I'll check it out and try to find out what I can for you.
Do you have anything on the heightened state of alert in the Persian Gulf with U.S. naval forces?
Let me put it this way. There have been some reports that maybe there are some Saudi facilities that are under watch. As you know, we don't talk about specific operations, but let me put it this way. We have vigorous and ongoing counterterrorism operations with the Saudis. And if they seek our help and request our help, we'll be certainly happy to provide it.
Has there been an Al-Qaeda threat?
Again, that's not the sort of thing that you would ever acknowledge if it were the case. So I can't say yes or no. All right, thank you.